Happy 4th of July weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tapping in to another great show, to the FTN Fantasy Show. It's your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy HQ. You see the face, you know the case. And I'm joined here with my homie Matt Okada, bro. And we are going to break the internet today with some of our takes, and I cannot wait.
Ooh, this should be exciting. Don't come into our mentions with your hate unless it involves you subscribing to the podcast, and then you can do it.
Absolutely, man. That's how you do it. If you want to scream at us on the timelines or where we're at, we're on Blue Sky, Twitter, YouTube. It doesn't matter where you're watching and listening. Just hit us up with some positivity, man, because we're just trying to make space for this dead time before training camp. But these hot takes, there is some logic behind them, because I'm looking at the rundown and I'm like, hold up, man. Okada, what is this? Like, is this what we're doing today? Like, okay, I see you getting ready to make some fireworks happen, you know, obviously with 4th of July weekend, man. You got any plans this week?
I do. Classic 4th of July plans. Probably going to involve barbecues and friends and maybe some fireworks.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on that grill, Mr. Okada. I mean, are we eating the hamburgers, the ribs?
Listen, we had some conversations before the podcast. We're not going to air them out in public, but delicious
gentlemen.
Food.
Food. That I like that, man. So look, we're going to have some adult beverages this weekend over here at the Jones family. We're just going to kick back. It's also my daughter's birthday weekend. Happy birthday, Layla. Nice. Love you so much. You are so precious, so smart. You are my best friend. But let's handle business today, man. The fantasy street's been buzzing. And obviously with some crazy firework news, you know, happening over there in Miami, making a trade for a retired rapper. Oh, I'm sorry. Retired football player in Darren Waller. Can we just say he's retired rapper, you know, being traded to the Dolphins? And what are the absolute expectations for him this season, Okada?
I believe he was kind of a retired rapper the second he started rapping, because his rap career never got off the ground. Unlike his football career, which did get off the ground. He was very good back in the day. Now, obviously, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So
the question with Darren Waller is, and the question everybody's asking is, does he have something left in the tank? Does he care about this game enough to come out here and perform? Both of the answers to both of those questions feels like it seems unlikely. However, the fact that he's coming out of retirement at all suggests that he wants to play football enough to come back and thinks at least that he has enough in the tank to do so. So I would say that it basically comes down to this with Waller. I see a very wide and very polarized range of outcomes. One is finds his former form, is a very talented athletic tight end, and fills in or surpasses the role that Jonnu Smith had in this offense with flying colors and ends up being like a top six tight end somehow out of nowhere. I think that's the much less likely outcome. The other one, and what is probably more likely, and really the only other alternative, I don't think there's a middle ground, is that he doesn't have anything left in the tank. He doesn't fit the same role that Jonnu Smith played, and he's basically a non-factor for both the Dolphins and for fantasy. So I think, like, there's no way he finishes between tight end 8 or 9 and tight end, like, 20. He's either a top 8 tight end, or he's completely useless and does nothing. And I think it's more likely he's the latter. So I'm not running to get him.
Listen, when I jump on Sleeper, I like to watch the trends. And obviously in Dynasty Leagues, you want to see who's popping, who's dropping. Now, when you go on there and you see Darren Waller, the number one trending ad off of the waiver wires with 57% roster ship, I'm sitting here thinking, like, what are people thinking right now? Are your tight end rooms that down bad that you have to add a 33-year-old tight end going into an offense that has target competition between Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Devon Achan? This does not even interest me a little bit, Okada, to think that Darren Waller is going to fill the shoes of a Jonnu Smith, where last year, Jonnu Smith target share, everybody brings this up, it was very situational. Like, we have to understand and read the room. When it goes into the first 3 weeks of the season, Jonnu was not getting the target share or even the volume that he was starting to see. So when Tua goes down, obviously this changes the offense. And not to mention, when we look at this Dolphins offense, this was literally the worst offense under Mike McDaniel. This is the worst version of the Dolphins offense we've seen. So for you to think that Mike McDaniel will even lean towards that way to have that offense operating like that? Come on. Are we living in reality here? I do feel like, you know, there is the slight chance that he ends up fantasy relevant some weeks. This isn't a season long look. There's going to be that 1 week Okada. People are going to be in our mentions. They're going to add us because of how we're talking down on Darren Waller. There's actual fans out there, fans of his rap career as well, which is insane. Insane. Those two songs are terrible. Yes. Oh my God. It's insane. Just go to TikTok and they're really rewatching the divorce video that he put out there. So it's like you guys are reviewing a video that we know is bad. But anyway, looking at this as a fantasy manager right now, I can't see myself dropping a guy and picking up Darren Waller. I can't see myself even in best ball drafts thinking that, you know, he could be my tight end two, you know, or my tight end three at this point, where there's better options down there. There's better options down there. And I feel like, you know, transitioning to Jonnu Smith of his opportunity in Pittsburgh now where Arthur Smith, Jonnu is the better pick here. People are looking at Jonnu as a guy that's going under Arthur Smith again. But Okada, I ask you, what are your fantasy expectations for Jonnu?
Jonnu is a pretty tough one because it depends on where you set your expectation, like you asked, yeah, and then what you expect him to do with those expectations. Because obviously he's coming off a year in Miami without Arthur Smith, which is obviously the big hype behind this move, is that Arthur Smith has gone and gotten Jonnu again for a third time. but he was out of the Smith system, and then the Dolphins situation went a little haywire, as you mentioned, and he all of a sudden had his best season. 111 targets. Wow. I don't think that's going to happen again. Having said that, here's what I will say. We had recently talked to on a pod, and I've mentioned in a couple different articles throughout this offseason, this team's got diddly bupkis to throw to behind DK Metcalf. You assume maybe Caleb Johnson will see a few targets. I guess some of those like complete non-factor wide receivers like Calvin Austin and the ghost of Robert Woods will have to see some targets.
Oh, don't do Bobby Trees like that. Don't do Bobby Trees like
listen,
that.
Listen, he was great back in the day, but
he's a great run blocker. That's why he's there. You got Ben Skoranek there as well. Great football players, great run blockers. If the agenda 100% is to win the bowl, you want guys that's going to perform that way.
And that's what Arthur Smith wants to do. So, but they're going to have to throw eventually, and none of those guys are interesting. I could see Jonnu Smith seeing a better target volume or at least target share than he has in other years under Smith, which, by the way, weren't very good ever. Everybody's like, ooh, Arthur Smith going to get in his guy again. He was never really that great under Arthur Smith. He had one season with 8 touchdowns in 2020 with Tennessee. That was pretty nice. I think it's likely that because of the lack of target options here, he maybe sees better numbers than he has in previous years under Smith, but not as good as he did last year. Maybe ends up around 80 to 90 targets. If he does, which would be pretty nice, I could see him hitting like 600 yards, 4 to 5 touchdowns, and being a low-end tight end one. But I think that anybody who's getting excited coming off of the largely fluky 2024 and getting too excited about the return to Arthur Smith that hasn't been that lucrative for him anyways, are maybe putting too much hype onto Jonnu. I see him being a low-end tight end one, but not a high-end tight end one.
Now, let's put a pin in that. A low-end tight end one is still good, ladies and gentlemen. This is still a valuable tight end that you could put in your starting lineup and hope and pray that he gets you 10 points. That's all I'm looking for my tight end position is 10 points or more. With this opportunity, though, where Arthur Smith, let's not put too much value in what we saw last year. Just understand where Arthur Smith, there's going to be design plays. There's going to be opportunities where it's going to be against the grain where it's like, why is Jonnu Smith on the 5-yard line getting the ball? Why isn't it Caleb Johnson? Why isn't it Jalen Warren? Why isn't it Cordero Patterson? But this is the type of player and the type of offensive coordinator that he has in this united marriage of where, like, you go back to that Atlanta Falcons year. He had 70 targets behind Kyle Pitts. And it's like, okay, the tight end position's eating. They're getting the volume. Kyle Pitts had 90 targets that season. So if we could just get 70 targets on the table for Jonnu Smith in this low pass volume offense behind DK Metcalf, because Calvin Austin, I'm not too excited about. Like, I'm excited that there's some opportunities there for him to break out, essentially, but it's not proven. But Jonnu, coming off of two back-to-back years of good product on the field, I can honestly see Arthur Smith drawing some things up, designing plays for him to have him heavily involved in his offense. So I'm going to roll the dice on him. He's tight end seven right now in underdog right now, fantasy in those best ball drafts. And again, if you sign up today, man, look, you get a chance to have $1,000 in bonus cash using promo code FTN. I'm telling you now, it's hot. Get on it right now. FTN is the promo code. You sign up today up to $1,000 in bonus cash on underdog fantasy. So Okada, we're going to take a quick break, man, and look, we got some breaking the internet to do, man. I mean, the fireworks are going to be going, so please, you guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back for another segment.
This podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million and get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the best ball $15 million headliner contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball, sponsored by DraftKings.
And we are back. Right on time to break the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, it is hot take season, and it's a dead time right now before we get to training camp. But again, we are coming in with some logic behind this. We're coming in making a case, essentially, for some of these takes. But listen, Kata, go off. Go first, man. I got to hear this. What is this? What is this on the rundown, bro?
Okay. So the first important thing to say is, and this is a dangerous trap with these hot takes and bold predictions and break the internet's Laquan, is I come up with my concept, and then I start researching the concept, and then I start to believe the concept, yes! And then I'm like, wait a minute, is this even a hot take? Is this the right answer?
Did I just find something? Like, that's
what... Here's what I'm saying. Rashi Rice will have more weeks as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver than Brian Thomas Jr.
Whoa.
Now, obviously, they're not getting drafted that way. Brian Thomas is getting drafted quite highly. Hi. And if you've been following me this offseason, I'm a little bit suspect of it. I think that last year's incredible, very impressive rookie season, no hate against it, but it was a little bit inflated by a lack of other target options, a decent target options, injuries to the guys that they expected to lead the target room or to be heavily involved alongside BTJ. Obviously, they went out and they drafted Travis Hunter. They did that for a reason. Now, arguably, somewhere between 20 to 50% of that reason is his contribution on defense. But from everything we've heard this offseason, it sounds like they have a plan to use him heavily on both sides of the ball. And if there is going to be a preference, it's going to be on offense. So I think that Travis Hunter is going to be a very valuable and threatening, I will say, wideout for the Jaguars when it comes to how much volume Brian Thomas Jr. is going to see and how consistently he's going to be good. Meanwhile, Rashi Rice had a also great rookie year. And then he had a 33.7% target share to start the season last year.
God!
Three healthy games, nearly 34% target share. Then, of course, he got hurt, and so we've largely forgotten. And there was some legal trouble that I don't think is going to affect his path moving forward. Over his first two seasons, let me give you some hot off the FTN Stats Hub numbers here, Laquan. Over his first two seasons, 2.54 yards per route run. That ranks eighth in the league. 2.12 fantasy points per target. That ranks 10th at the position. Here is a list of players Laquan to rank higher than Rashee Rice on both of those metrics, fantasy points per target and targets per route run. Nico Collins, end of list.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yes, yes. Those are facts. This is hard data. This is not random, you know, vibes. Whoa. This is numbers. Rashee Rice has been extremely productive and he has been highly involved. And I think that now heading into a second fully healthy season in an offense that has other good players, but not target hogs. I think Travis Kelce is going to see his volume come heavily down at his age. Xavier Worthy will have flash weeks and flash plays, but he's never going to be a target hog, in my opinion. And beyond that, I don't think they have anyone who's going to see anywhere near triple digit targets. So I think Rice is the more consistent, especially in PPR, option, and that he will be a top 20 wide receiver far more often than Brian Thomas Jr. BTJ may still score more fantasy points overall because he has some huge weeks that blow Rashee Rice out of the water. But if you're looking for consistency, and I think maybe even overall better finish in PPR, I'm taking Rashee Rice over BTJ.
This doesn't sound like a hot take. This sounds like you just found the gem. Like, bang! Like, oh my God, man. Like, I'm hearing this, and I'm like, I might be in on Rashee Rice. Like, I might just be a little bit more further in the pond with this because, again, we're looking at the ADPs and Brian Thomas Jr., even off rip, me being a fan of him looking at last year, it is way too high right now. The expectations are a little too high for us right now, and I think a lot of people in best ball drafts are kind of pumping it up. Hopefully, when people come back outside for the redraft leagues that are just really talking among their league mates and they're on the draft board and they really analyze the situation, they've been remember this pod episode and they remember you saying Rashee Rice, if you want consistency, cool. Now Brian Thomas Jr., he might have those blow up weeks, but we got to see it on a consistent basis with Trevor Lawrence, because we have to remember last season all those blow up games were with Mac Jones. Mr. Smooth Cool of the Mac Jones came wild out, balled out for him, having Brian Thomas Jr. look like a first round fantasy wide receiver. Now Trevor Lawrence is back in the driver's seat. I'm sorry, I mispronounced his name. Trevor Mid-Lawrence is back in the driver's seat. So we have to understand that there are some changes there. Liam Cohen, again, has no loyalty to anybody. He's going out there putting the best product he could put out there on the field and getting the quarterback that is highly paid on track. So I might be with you, Okada. That wasn't a hot take. That was just like, damn, I found some fire, so I'm going to share it with the folks. Like, damn. All right. Now I have to follow up now. So this is not a homer take. This is not a homer take. Because I started doing some research and I started looking. I'm like, wait a second. You're telling me there's a chance that Tutu Atwell can finish as a top 40 wide receiver this season in fantasy? Bro, listen, hear me out. Okay. Now follow me, right? Now, when we look at last season, what his opportunities were, they were very limited. And Tutu has always been a limited player. But there has been some changes this offseason with the offense, with Sean McVay having a change of heart. Now, with this happening, it has to be perfect. It has to be him as a full-time wide receiver, as a wide receiver three, which the door is open for. Now, you have Tyler Johnson, DeMarcus Robinson. They're all out of the way. But even last year, with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp going down with injury, we saw flashes of Tutu stepping up as a valuable wide receiver in this offense, showing his worth, showing that he can make the big catchability in connecting with Matthew Stafford. Now, with that on the table this season, you have Sean McVay saying he wants to be more versatile with this offense. He wants to be more versatile. Also, in that same sentence, he wants to utilize Tutu Atwell a lot more. That's why he got paid the bag, and that's why he is back in house. Now, what Tutu can bring to this offense is obviously a guy that plays out wide that could stretch the field, but he has some type of production in these last four seasons running out of that slot at 28%. So I think with him having at least 800 yards, which is on the table for him, by the way, that with his big bay ability, 5 touchdowns, that's all we need right there with a projected stat line. 800 yards, 5 touchdowns. Because when we're looking at Tutu Atwell and this high power offense, we understand that Sean McVay is going to draw it up, and he's going to draw it up right. And when you have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford last season that showed that he could utilize Tutu all over the field, He was finished third on the team in receptions, only playing less than 40% of the snaps. So obviously the big playability is there. The volume is on the table for him to take that opportunity. Why can't he have a Rashad Bateman type season, finished as a top 40 wide receiver in fantasy? Ooh. Hey, that's where Rashad Bateman's finished at, by the way, top 40 at 40. So I'm okay standing on this hill that Tutu Atwell will be a valuable, valuable wide receiver you want to stash. And do not pass, because he is coming in hot this season.
Okay. I am not unconvinced. I am quite interested in this. And here's something I'll say. Okay, I have one thing to say, and I have one question to ask you. The thing I'll say is, my first completed underdog draft of this offseason, we're going to talk about stacks later, Laquan. We didn't talk about the Rams. But in my first completed underdog draft, Best Ball Mania, I have Matthew Stafford, Davante Adams, Terrence Ferguson, and Tutu Atwell.
Wow, that's an interesting stat there.
Especially in best ball, I really like this idea, because I think there could be some weeks that he's the guy who catches the touchdown or the big breakaway play.
Yes.
And if you can, and he's very easy to stack. This offense is very easy to stack. I'm surprised we don't have them in our best ball stack, which is a segment later. No more spoilers. But here's my question. So that's my statement. Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you like Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
I think you very much like Davante Adams.
Yes.
Now you're telling me you like Tutu Atwell. They have an interesting tight end. Where is Matthew Stafford falling in the picture for you? Because if all these guys are this good, and Kyren Williams is catching some passes, Matthew Stafford's got to be kind of intriguing.
Absolutely. And I've said this before on other pods and other areas of platforms. Matthew Stafford needs to be looked at as he was in 2021, when he was going out there slinging and lighting it up. And this offense was very explosive. When we look at last season, he even showed flashes of that, of having Tutu Atwell on the board, because Tutu had 10 catches of 20 plus yards last season. That was one less than Puka Nacua. That was tied with Cooper Kupp. So that big playability is going to drive Matthew Stafford yards up. It's going to drive the touchdowns up as well, especially we even talk about the two demons on the perimeter with Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, what they bring. We're looking at two wide receivers to have 1,000-plus yards, have over 5-plus touchdowns with a freaking Tutu Atwell that been working out with Zay Flowers and Lamar Jackson over this past weekend, by the way. So when you're getting with a wide receiver similar type like a Zay Flowers, if we even get an ounce of Zay Flowers production out of Tutu Atwell and the utility out of that, boy, we are looking at one of the most dangerous offenses out there in the NFL. I mean, we already dangerous back-to-back season going to the playoffs. Nobody wants to see us, but when you add in a more motivated, a more utilized Tutu Atwell with some Zay Flowers type of production, boy, Matthew Stafford is to the freaking moon. Like, he's going as like a QB2, but he could damn well have some 20 plus fantasy weeks, you know, with this type of offense. So please do not look the other way when it comes to Matthew Stafford. Fade Jared Goff. Go Matthew Stafford later in those best ball drafts.
I like it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. What you got next? What fire are you coming with next?
Okay. So the first one, you commented a couple times, Aquan, you're not sure how hot it really was. And in fairness, that's just because it was so well argued that it didn't seem that hot. It's still hot. This one is going to be hard to sell.
This is hot.
Kenneth Walker III will outscore Saquon Barkley in fantasy in 2025.
Excuse me. Hold on. Say that again.
Kenneth Walker will outscore Saquon Barkley.
What?
More fantasy points. Hear me out, Laquan. I know. Listen, this one's mainly just for you, because I know you don't like KW3. I know Saquon's coming off of one of the best fantasy seasons we've seen in recent memory. Here's the deal. We can very easily look at the history of that kind of volume and what happens afterwards. And you may have seen this. If you've been following the fantasy streets, you may have seen some people hit on this. You also may have seen him on the cover of Madden, which is not great. But we're going to leave that aside, because that's not actual factual data. Saquon Barkley, let me break the numbers down for you, Laquan. Saquon Barkley, 378 touches last year. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Encore years for running backs after that kind of volume historically do not go well. 17 running backs have hit 350 plus touches over the last decade. Just one hit 350 plus again in the successive year. That was Ezekiel Elliott at age 24, which, spoiler alert, Saquon Barkley is not. No offense to the elderly, of which I am one.
I was like, that's us, bro.
Yeah. Just three of those 17 hit 300 plus touches in the successive year. That was Zeke and also Derrick Henry and Najee Harris. Every single one of the 17 backs scored fewer fantasy points in the successive season than they did in the 350 plus touch season. All but one of them, that one being Zeke, scored at least 55 fewer fantasy points.
Damn, that's steep.
The average drop-off in touches, excluding Le'Veon Bell, who held out in his successive year after the 350-plus, the average drop-off in touches, 140 touches fewer. The average drop-off in fantasy points, 160 fantasy points fewer. The overall history is terrible. Maybe, but you say, but Okada, Saquon Barkley is very talented. I bet he can do it. Well, let's look at Saquon Barkley because he's done this twice before. He hit 352 touches exactly in 2018 and in 2022. 386 fantasy points in 2018. 284 fantasy points in 2022. A wild gap of points given the exact same number of touches. Obviously, explosivity and touchdowns mattered a lot. However, in the successive years, 244 fantasy points and 269 touches in 2019. That's a drop off of 142 points and 83 touches. And then in the year after 2022, 223 fantasy points, 288 touches. That's a drop off of 61 points and 64 touches. He is not going to repeat the output he had in 2024. And if he falls in the range that he fell in those two seasons, the seasons after his big 350 touch seasons previously, he would be somewhere in the RB12 to RB18 range. Kenneth Walker is going to be in or above that range and will outscore Saquon Barkley. You can go back to previous pods to hear me rant about Saquon or about Kenneth Walker. I don't need to get into that here. All that matters is Saquon's fallen short. And Kenneth Walker will easily pass him as a result.
Is it this is spicy, man? Are you serious? I can't even wrap my head. I can't wrap my head around this, Okada, because I'm thinking about Saquon Barkley is in that freak athlete tier. Like, I don't hold him to the same standard as your average running back. And when we talk about Zeke, and it's like he was a freak athlete at that time, when that's why he's the exception to be able to do that. But I'm looking at Saquon on this Eagles offense. I think the difference maker will be the touchdowns. It will be the touchdowns because we honestly have the tush push is back. He will be vulture, but these are still scoring opportunities for Saquon. Like, I just don't have the grapes to say that Kenneth Walker will have more fantasy points than Saquon Barkley in the Seahawks' current state of their offense. Like, this is crazy, man. Like, if you get this, we're clipping this and we're posting this for 30 days straight. After the season, once December hits and all that, we're posting this for 30 days straight. Because how, man? Like, I do feel like, you know, Kenneth Walker, if he gives us a full season, like healthy, he can be in that top 10 conversation that we constantly have. But Saquon's going in the first five picks of the draft, and you're telling me that the folks in the fantasy streets might be a little too high on him. They need to pull him back an entire round?
You know where he's not going in the first five picks of the draft, Laquan? To my team. I'm not buying into this. It happens every single time someone has this kind of volume, except for once.
Man,
I can't do
He's a freak athlete. All right, man. I hear you, man. And again, if you hit on this, boy, you scorched the earth with this hot take. But man, jumping into my hot take now.
All right, scorch me back.
A lot of folks that's been, you know, on the TikToks and, you know, the Instagrams, they've kind of seen this name pop up for the last couple of weeks. But Juwan Johnson, Saints tight end, will finish top 10 in points per game. Not only will he finish top 10 in points per game, he will outscore Sam Laporta. He will outscore TJ Hockenson to be the reigning tight end that we will all jump to the waiver wires to go get once again. Now, hear me out. this Saints offense, they don't have many pass catchers. And I'm sitting here just looking at Bub Means. I'm sitting here trying to see if Chris Olave can give us a full season and if he will interrupt with any of this path for Juwan Johnson. And it does not. Juwan Johnson led their team in catches last season. That was a career high for him. So I'm sitting here watching highlights about him, just seeing people talk about him as well. So I'm like, screw it. I'm going to use one of my resources that know Juwan Johnson best, played with Juwan Johnson. I asked Jameis Winston, I text him, and I'm like, hey, man, what stands out to you about Juwan Johnson, man? What makes him so special? Like, you've had some great moments with him on the field. Like, what is it? Jameis texts back rather quickly, which I was surprised, man. But again, these guys are on vacation right now. Training camp ain't going off. He goes, man, he is a mismatch nightmare for all defenders. He is a big, essentially a big body wide receiver that has great route running. He is a guy. So I'm like, man, if you have Jameis Winston who's thrown passes to him to co-sign and basically help me with my priors that Juwan Johnson can ball and what opportunity this season, because again, Okada, you look at Rashid Shaheed. He's coming back from injury, man, but he is a deep threat. That is going to be sporadic. We don't know if Tyler Shuck is going to go out there and want to air it out to him. I think Tyler Shuck is going to play it close. He's going to play it safe and understand that Juwan Johnson, he's a tight end. They like to security blanket him. Yeah, he's 25 years old. He can get his own insurance. He's not technically a rookie, but he is a rookie. He's never played at this stage of the level, so he still gets that rookie nod of like he's going to use his tight end a lot and often. And your guy, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, Matt Okada is a Taysom Hill stan. He will go to the end of the earth shouting his name, man. But Taysom Hill is returning back from injury, so I don't think he'll be as involved as we've seen him in the past. Honestly, with the new OC there, you got to understand, new head coach, there's been some changes. So I think Juwan Johnson will outscore Sam Laporta, TJ Hawk, locking in as a top 10 fantasy tight end in points per game in 2025.
Ooh, wow. Okay, just to be clear, is he outscoring those two guys in points per game or in total points?
Both. Locking in for points per game. I do not think TJ Hawk and Sam Laporta will have a better season than Juwan Johnson in fantasy points per game and in total fantasy points.
Wow, this is hot. This is very spicy.
Currently the tight end 30, by the way, undrafted.
Which is wild. Okay, yes. You've definitely sold me on Juwan Johnson has a very good chance to see targets in this offense because, like, Chris Olave, how many games is he going to play? Rashid Shaheed, how many games is he going to play? And is he's never going to see significant targets because of the type of receiver he is. You mentioned that.
Nope.
Is Alvin Kamara the biggest threat to Juwan Johnson for targets? Because if so, this could be interesting. Now, I'm a TJ Hawkinson fan, so I can't get on board with you in that he'll outscore TJ Hawkinson. However, I am a little suspect of Sam Laporta and this Lions offense in general. I have said many times on almost every player in this offense that I foresee a step back because of the loss of Ben Johnson. So that one, maybe you could sell me on. Still very hot. Top 10 from ADP of 30 is wild.
But listen, I'm hoping Juwan Johnson's my ticket of last year's of the Jonnu Smith hit of a top five tight end. I'm hoping for that, but I'm saying top 10. He can reach this with actual opportunity. Target share. He's a great route runner. He's a big body, basically a big body wide receiver who's shown those flashes in the past of having a heavy red zone presence. If this offense is going to be any type of good, if they're going to be able to drive down the field and getting the striking distance, Juwan Johnson's probably going to be their number one red zone target because you don't really have any other big body wide receivers or big body tight ends that can take that role other than him. He's been proven. The talent is there, Okada, man. We got to get you on board fully. We got you halfway.
Oh, but I'm half.
We're going to get you on.
I don't know if I get more than half. We'll see.
Listen, man, we're going to take another quick commercial break, man. Pay the bills, man. Shout out DraftKings sponsoring this podcast, man. We will be right back to finish up the segments.
This podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million and get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million headliner contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-Best-Ball, sponsored by DraftKings.
And we are back. Shout out DraftKings again, sponsoring the pod. We are going to be hitting that $15 million ticket with our lineups, man. Look, I told you last week, I got to get Bo Nix in there, man. I mean, Okada, who you think about getting into your best ball lineups with that ticket?
I mean, you may hear a lot of that name coming up here in just a minute. Hashtag spoiler alert. But I will throw this out there also. During the break, I checked in on some of my other best ball lineups, Laquan. I have a lineup right now that is through 12 rounds that has Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. I double tapped both guys at the start of the draft.
Absolutely.
Matthew Stafford and Tutu Atwell are looking mighty tasty coming up here shortly. I might get another Rams multi-stack in this.
Let's go. That's how you stack those pancakes, man. That's how you get them. And I'm all for this Rams offense, obviously, as a Rams fan, but just understand the dynamics this season and being able to do what you're able to do, double tap on the demons on the perimeter and Adams and Puka, and then be able to wait patiently. Just let it fall to your lap. Hit other areas in your rosters that you want to hit in your lineups and just wait for the Matthew Stafford and wait for the Tutu Atwell. Wow. That's a great stack. Going into transitioning perfectly into our last segment, it is our best ball stacks, man. And understand, man, when I was trying to look for the best stacks, I was trying to get the number one off on the rundown. Then I look, and then Okada, this guy, he picks literally the best stack out there possible. So you might as well take it away, man.
All right. Incidentally, the two stacks that I got, I don't know how I got both. I thought you were going to come in and steal my second one. The Rams might be my number three stack. So shout out the Rams, who we aren't going to include in this segment. We've shouted them out now a few times. But my number one is the Cincinnati Bengals, Laquan. And I don't know that it's that close. In value, there are other teams, other stacks that may end up having, you know, a better return because the Bengals stack is not cheap. You got Joe Burrow. Right. He's getting drafted as a top five quarterback. You have Ja'Marr Chase. He's the number one or number two overall pick. You basically have to have a top two pick to pull off landing Ja'Marr Chase and starting this stack. You've got T. Higgins, who's going obviously as a wide receiver too. And you got Chase Brown, who's going as an RB1. So to pull off this kind of stack, you essentially have to pick these four guys with your first four picks, which I have done in an underdog BBM6 draft.
Wow.
I will keep you posted on how it ends up looking in the end, Laquan, but I literally, and this is one of the reasons I picked this team as my first stack, I was like, this is just falling. I didn't reach for these. This is just how the ADP fell. I'm going to try this out and see what I end up with. And here's something worth noting, Laquan. There is a winner every year of the Best Ball Mania.
Yeah.
A guy who, or a person who wins millions of dollars. And you know who did it last year? A team with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Chase Brown, who scored 97.38 fantasy points in week 17 when the Bengals played an overtime game and beat the Broncos 30-24. Is it likely that things go that perfectly this year? Probably not. And again, you have to pay up to get these guys, which means you have to hit on value elsewhere. But I will say this, they face in weeks 15, 16, and 17, the fantasy stretch or the playoff stretch, the Ravens, Dolphins, and Cardinals. those have the makings of three highly offensive firepower. Their
defense still sucks, so they gonna be going out there balling now. Oh, this is what I'm talking about. I rather pay the high price for this stack because it's just so juicy. It's one of those offensive stacks that you're like, they're gonna be great each and every single week. This ball is gonna be distributed evenly, but there's gonna be some high points for each individual player that you just named between Chase, Higgins, and Brown. Like, oh my God, Joe Burrow is still gonna be a top five lock type of fantasy quarterback. This is one of those things where it's like, I'm willing to pay. Scared money don't make money. So it's like, come on now. This is literally the best ball, you know, best ball stack right here.
I see no, unless Joe Burrow gets hurt or one of these superstars gets hurt, I see no real reason that this team wouldn't be a top three offense. So there is the question mark of, can you really have this many guys stacked from a single team? Because aren't they just going to eat into each other? When an offense is this good, you don't have to worry about it because you're going to get great performances from all of them most. And some weeks you're going to get crazy combos when they go off.
Absolutely. Now to go into my stack, we're going to the value bag here because I've actually executed this multiple times and I'm looking for the upside here for two players. So honestly, Justin Fields, he's obviously going to be a top 10, you know, quarterback off the board in these best ball drafts. So you don't really have to pay that high price, but you can start building this stack after you address other areas of your roster. So Justin Fields, we're all in on the rushing upside. This is a guy that could put 1,000 yards on the ground, may not have 4,000 passing yards, may not have over 30 touchdowns, but that rushing upside and the rushing touchdowns are there. He just remains explosive. So I don't really need to sell people on this stack. But Breece Hall, Mason Taylor, and Garrett Wilson to complete this pancake stack, where I'm looking at this like, interesting, because Breece Hall's vowed, you know, with the trade rumors to be a little bit better, but Breece Hall has always remained a PPR upside type of running back. He may not be as explosive as he was his rookie year, but honestly, looking at the opportunity he has with Braylon Allen, this offense is going into a Detroit Lions type of offense with Tanner Strange at the offensive coordinator position. He's going to have this 1-2 punch implemented, and I want any type of version of Ben Johnson. I don't care if it's the great value Walmart off-brand version of this 1-2 punch. If that's what we're going to instill and have Justin Fields there, there's going to be so many ample amount of dump off passes for them. There's going to be so many ample amount of offensive, you know, I mean, red zone opportunities for them. So looking at Mason Taylor, where he's going basically undrafted, ladies and gentlemen, people are forgetting that they spent high on Mason Taylor. They want Mason Taylor implemented on this offense and having the opportunity he has. Tyler Conklin's gone. There's no other tight end on that roster that fears, you know, Mason Taylor's opportunity and snaps. So looking at this stack, you can look at Garrett Wilson as a top five wide receiver if used efficiently in the red zone as well. We need to get the touchdowns up. We know the targets are going to be there. This goes into my argument how valuable the target's going to be, but I have good faith that Garrett Wilson, he's not going as a first round wide receiver anymore. He's not even going as a early second round type of wide receiver anymore. There's other guys there. So this is a value pack here where you can get possibly Mason Taylor. He could be a top 10 tight end, right? Okada, he could live in that range as a rookie. We've seen rookies come out and perform at a high level of opportunity, right?
I could see it happening. Listen, the nice thing about both of these two offenses we've named so far is the funneling that I expect to happen.
Yes.
Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are going to see all of the targets for Cincinnati. It's going to be an absurd amount. There's no one else in New York besides Garrett Wilson. And then they added Mason Taylor, and the argument for Mason Taylor ever since he landed there is there's no one else besides Garrett Wilson, so he might actually see significant targets as a rookie.
But what about Josh Reynolds?
Nope. Zero interest in Josh Reynolds. Zero interest in Alan Lazard without Aaron Rodgers
there. If he's still there.
Yeah, exactly.
He's still there this time. He took a pay cut, but we'll see.
You do not have to sell me on Justin Fields. I love him at value. You do not have to sell me on Breece Hall. I think he is a great player who will be very good in half or full PPR. I'm not a huge Garrett Wilson truther in general, but I think his ADP is down at a range now where I don't mind getting him. And when Fields has good passing days, so AKA when this stack goes off, it will be Wilson with an occasional Taylor, and the price you're getting Taylor, you can get 3 weeks maybe of him being great, and it's totally fine, good return. So
Absolutely.
I like this. This is a nice little value.
I'm trying to help the folks that ain't trying to pay big out there, man. Because when I get further in these drafts, I'm like, I could start this stack now with Justin Fields, and we can hit this off. You know, Garrett Wilson and Justin Fields. I like that as a dual threat combo as well. But if I can complete it with a Breece Hall and a Mason Taylor, why not? Why not, bro? What you got next?
It's solid. It's solid. All right. I've got one that I am truly shocked you didn't snag, Laquan, because I have heard
Tired of hearing me. People don't want to hear me anymore, but it's Knicks tape season. I mean, I don't want to spoil Laquan, it, but go ahead.
Laquan has raved so much about these players that he has to take a break, and I will pick up the mantle. And I will do so happily, Laquan. You don't have to force me into this. I love Bo Nix. I love RJ Harvey. I love Evan Ingram. I don't love Courtland Sutton in general for redraft. However, I do think he will have several weeks where he scored a touchdown. I think there was a stretch last year, maybe, where he scored a touchdown and did not much else, but scored a touchdown like 8 straight weeks or something. It was an incredible stretch. And that's what you want in best ball. So the Denver Broncos are my second stack, and it's not close. The Bengals one is hard to get, so I'm not getting that one everywhere. But if I can pull off chunks of it, I will do so wherever I can. The Broncos stack, you want to talk about the Jets being a discount stack? The Broncos stack, you are not getting any of these guys in the first few rounds, which means you can get all of them all the time. I don't know that I've had a BBM6 draft yet, and I've had several ongoing, Laquan, where I have not gotten at least a couple of these players, particularly Bo Nix, because I love the area that he's going. Where he is going in drafts, I do not like the other players at the other positions, and I do not think there is a quarterback anywhere near him that has his floor and upside, because I believe he'll be a QB1, and I think he has top 6 upside. So I am stacking Bo Nix with multiple of these guys wherever I can. You've heard me talk about Evan Ingram on this podcast, and I've written articles at FTN about how I really like his upside as a high target, potentially threatening Courtland Sutton for top target in this offense, tight end. You know, we both love RJ Harvey. We don't have to go into that too much.
Let's go.
And then I really like Marvin Mims as a sleeper this year in general, even in like standard set your lineup redraft leagues. But in best ball, that he becomes even more of a stud here because he's got that breakaway big play potential that you like to get in best ball every now and then. So just ADP wise, this has to be, in my opinion, the best value team you're going to find in terms of stacks. You're getting Nix in the 9th round. You're getting Sutton at the 4 or 5 turn. Mims is in the double digits. Ingram's nearly in the double digits. RJ Harvey's at like the 5-6 turn, which is great for a guy we see as potentially threatening for RB1. Mm-hmm. Throw in Pat Bryant somewhere.
Let's go. That's who I was waiting for. Let's go.
Complete it. I have a few great weeks. So if you are looking to, like, I will find very little best ball drafts this year where I am not grabbing Knicks and at least one of these guys just based off value. So to me, this is the most grabbable stack in 2025. Do you disagree at all? Because I doubt it.
Look, you wrapped it up with Pat Bryant, so I am very excited about this stack. And people, keep sleeping on Bo. He's honestly the QB9 right now, where you have Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes all going before him, which is a little nuts to me, but that's fine. That's fine. But when we look at last season, he had QB1 weeks consistently. When you look at this offense that Sean Payton is deploying right now, and you see the Avengers assembling right now, this is looking like, whoa, Denver might be something to watch out for, like in real life football. Like, they might be looking at the Chiefs like, yeah, we coming. This is what it is, because that defense is top tier, led the league in sacks. And then you look at what Bo Nix was able to do with little help with Josh Reynolds, Devon Valey, and Troy Franklin, and Marvin Mims getting sprinkled here and there, and Courtland Sutton as the only head. When you bring in new staples in the running game with RJ Harvey, when you bring in J.K. Dobbins to back up that running game, the secure that you're going to be able to move the chains, and then you draft Pat Bryan. chef kiss. This is a big body wide receiver that's getting compared to Michael freaking Thomas. And you see how bricked up Sean Payton gets when you talk about Michael Thomas. So I'm going to just leave it there. This is my favorite stack. It may not be the best stack because we said the Bengals were, but this is my favorite stack to do in a bunch of best ball drafts. Oh my God, Okada. I don't even know how I follow up after that. Like, honestly, like I really don't know because you took literally my two choices, but I just wasn't quick enough to get to the rundown. Little peek behind the curtain. That's all it is. That's all it is. I got caught lacking, but we're going to finish it off with the stack that I think is getting disrespected. Now,
okay,
when we look at Tampa Bay, we look at the changes. We obviously indicate that Liam Cohen was the staple there and the reason why success for Baker Mayfield. Bull crap. Baker Mayfield has more offensive coordinators than I had girlfriends in my life. So it's just one of those things. It's like, what are we doing here? Baker has proven himself year after year. It doesn't matter who you bring in there, whoever you put on the sticks, he's going to execute. We even look at 2023. He didn't have 40 plus touchdowns. He didn't have 4,500 yards, still had 4,000 yards, and he still took care of that ball. So Baker Mayfield is a staple in that quarterback room with a dual threat running back room with Bucky Urban and Rashad White. So with my stack, I'm going with Baker, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Rashad White. And if you want to get cute, go ahead and add Emeka Ebuka as well on there if you are not a true believer in Godwin, because honestly, I think this offense is going to pick up where it left off. Now, Baker may not throw for 4,500 yards again, but the touchdowns are going to remain the same because he has the weapons around him. That's the difference from 2023, where he didn't have that 1-2 punch in that running back room. He didn't really have the Cade Otton's to pop up and secure when Mike Evans or Chris Godwin goes down. A lot of changes. Didn't even have Jalen McMillan. Jalen McMillan only made this cut. He almost made the cut, but I'm like, I'd rather have Godwin when he's ready, he's healthy, because he's going to be for sure on the field making the plays. So this stack here just feels like a solid stack that I could depend on, you know, week to week. And I'm not paying premium prices for any of these guys, Okada. Like, you have Baker Mayfield as QB7. That's probably a little high for some folks, but Baker gives you some rushing upside as well. Those scramble yards count. Those scramble yards count. He may not be a designed runner, but Baker is a tough quarterback that will go out there and lower his shoulder against a linebacker and put it down like he out there, Derrick Henry. So I'm going for just the skill, the talent, and the opportunity for these guys to smash their ADPs. Now, the only one you may question, Okada, because I did say Rashad White. I didn't say Bucky Urban. I said Rashad White.
I don't feel
like I want to pay that price for Bucky Urban where he's going, because he's going around Jonathan Taylor, Joe Mixon. He's going in that range of running backs where I'm like, I'd rather the workhorses. I know he was crazy efficient last season, but Rashad White still averaged 12 fantasy points per game. He had some high weeks. He had some weeks where he was exclusively the pass catcher out of that backfield, and Bucky Urban only saw one or two targets. So these are things that are still implemented in that backfield where the roles are set. You have the pass catcher, and then you have the RB1 who's going to handle most of the load. But at the end of the day, I'm going for value here, where I don't have to break the bank for these stacks and get the benefits of them washing their basically their ADPs or where they're at right now.
I'll tell you what, Laquan, Rashad White might be the guy you have to sell me on the least. I actually really like that. I think that's a sneaky value and a great way to stack, because it's like an under the radar, you know, he's not the main stack candidate to pair with Baker, but one that I think could work really well. The one hang up for me here is Baker and his ADP, because you mentioned him when you talked about Bo Nix. He's going ahead of Bo Nix by like six-ish picks on Underdog. And you've also got Kyler Murray in that range, Patrick Mahomes, who I kind of like. And I'm looking to stack right now in one of my other BBM6 drafts with Rice and Worthy. Justin Fields is even going after him, and I'm not sure that I like him over any of those guys. So to me, I think this is a lucrative stack that will have several very good weeks. I would just need the Baker ADP to fall right for me to pull this off, because if I have to take him where he's being drafted or ahead of it, I think I would be very hesitant to do that. But if he drops a little bit, I think this team with these options will have several very good stack weeks. So you would not have to try very hard to sell me on the rest of this stack at all.
Hey, that's great news, man. Like, honestly, these are some good stacked. I feel like eating some pancakes right now. I might hit the IHOP after this. But, geez, man. Look, man, I do think today, like, it was a good exercise to figure out stacks. I want to run it back because I think there's more stacks out there that we can hit on next week that we can really help some folks out there to get some value, guys. And those home runs, like Bengals, you know, stack, I honestly think that, you know, there's one more that we didn't talk about. But we're going to save it for next week because I'm going to do some best ball drafts this weekend to see if I can pull it off. But, man, this has been great. Another great episode in the books, man. I mean, honestly, man, let's go out there, have some fun, drink responsibly for the 4th of July, eat some glizzies, eat some burgers, some sausages, ribs, whatever you feel like you want to put on the grill, and have a great time, man. Okada, it's always real. It's always great, man.
Yeah, hop in some underdog drafts and use our FTN code because you get a whole bunch of goodness when you do that. And they're super
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely. Shout out DraftKings, man. We're going to pay the bills, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Until next time.